Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We sometimes hear the term, the Christian hope, but I don't know that we always have a clear understanding of what that is. But hopefully, as we move along in our study in Colossians, we are going to understand that better, because that's what we come to in verse 5, the Christian hope, and we'll learn the source, the nature, and the result of this thing called the Christian hope. Now, as you know, we are working through Paul's opening prayer of thanksgiving, as Paul followed the customary epistolary forms of his day. And after identifying the author, himself, the recipients, the Church of Colossae, and extending a greeting to the church, he included the customary cursory word of thanks, or at least in most epistles, it would be a cursory word of thanks to the pagan gods. But Paul's expression of thanks is not to the pagan gods, it is to the one true and living God. And it is not cursory. It is a full, robust expression of thanks, which serves as a wonderful example to us. And Paul filled his expression of thanks with solid Christian doctrine. His giving of thanks begins in verse 3 and continues into really about halfway through the first chapter of the epistle. But verses 3 through 8 are all one sentence. So it's no wonder that each verse runs into the next one and are interlocking and interrelated. And that is certainly true of the Christian hope. So we read in verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, and which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. But as this verse begins in my English version with that word because, that of course goes back to the previous verse, which itself links to the previous verse. So we really have to start back at verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So, we're going to talk about this Christian hope, its significance, its source, and we're doing so on this Thursday, October 1, enabled by the gifts of listeners just like you. Thank you so very much. All right, this hope, the significance of this hope, because of the hope, he says, which is laid up for you in heaven. Now, first of all, I think we need to define our terms. What is hope? And hope is an earnest expectation. That definition will work in almost any place the word hope is used, whether in a Christian context or not. It is an earnest expectation. It is looking forward to something, expecting something, and desiring it with some degree of intensity, an earnest expectation. That's a hope. Different from, say, just a mild desire. It is actually a very important concept in our New Testament scriptures. The Greek word elpis is used more than 50 times in your New Testament, and usually with a distinctly Christian meaning. Very often it is combined together with faith and love in a famous trio, faith, hope, and love, we're told in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and we're also told there that the greatest of these is love. But these three important Christian qualities: faith, hope, and love. And you'll also find that trio put together again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And so the distinctive thing about faith, about hope rather, is that it is forward-looking. There's a forward-looking focus to hope. It is looking to the future. And that's very obvious, I think, first of all, just in the word as I have defined it. A hope is an earnest expectation. It's expecting something. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't come yet. It's looking forward to it. And that becomes even more clear when we see how Paul uses the word in our text in Colossians 1:5, when he says, "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." Is laid up for you in heaven. He's writing that to people, of course, upon the earth, who have not yet gone to heaven. But he says this hope is laid up for you in heaven. That word laid up could be translated is in store or reserved for you in heaven. So obviously it is forward looking. It is looking to the future. It is a hope which is laid up for you in heaven. In fact, if we take this trio, faith, love, and hope, I think we could say the following. Faith rests on the past. When it comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is faith in the finished work of Christ, what he did upon the cross 2,000 years ago. Faith looks to the past. Love works in the present. Love is our response, our extending ourselves, our reaching out in beneficial words and deeds to those around us. It works in the present. But hope looks to the future. Faith rests on the past. Love works in the present. And hope looks to the future. And Paul puts all three of those together in our text. This is another trio. Remember, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. So once again, we find these three put together in close proximity. Furthermore, we need to understand that hope itself requires faith. What is hope but faith in the promises of God? Our hope is an earnest expectation based upon something that God has promised, and it depends upon faith. If we have no faith in the promises of God, then there is no earnest expectation for the future. Again, the hope of Colossians 1:5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Well, if you don't believe what the Bible says about heaven, then you have no hope about what is laid up for you in heaven. If you're not certain that these promises about the future, about eternal life, about our being with the Lord forever, about the wonders and glories of heaven, if you're not confident that these things are realities, if you don't believe that and believe it fully, completely, strongly, assuredly, then you certainly don't have any hope. You're not earnestly looking forward to that, longing for it, expecting it, counting on it, because you have no faith in it. So hope requires faith. It is faith in the promises of God, though faith is backwards looking in the sense that it looks to what God has said in the past and what God has done in the past, particularly saving faith upon what Jesus Christ did in history 2,000 years ago. There are many wonderful promises in God's word which have not yet been realized. And that's where hope depends upon faith. In fact, that's really where faith blends into hope. When faith has a backwards focus, resting on the past, then it is, we might say, an historical faith. But when faith is looking to promises of what God has said will come in the future, then that faith becomes hope. And this hope that Paul is talking about the presence of Christ, and the blessedness of heaven, and the age to come, and our final salvation, and our state of glorification, which is promised to us when Christ returns to take us to be with himself. And when he returns and we are caught up together with him, that's when the resurrection of our body takes place, and that's when we receive our glorified bodies, and we are now complete in our redemption. Our souls are now redeemed. Well, our bodies are redeemed, but the realization of that has not come upon us. And first, we've got to go through the grave. Our bodies have got to be laid down in the grave. We have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But our earnest expectation, our hope is that our bodies will be raised from the dead, a glorious body, and will be with the Lord forever in heaven, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. And so even though hope has a forward focus, it has a present impact. Someone has defined hope as being the present enjoyment of future good. The present enjoyment of future good. I like that. I think that capsulizes it perfectly. Because of faith, I believe the promises of God. I'm looking forward to the wonderful things that God has in store for me in the future. And that impacts my attitude in the present. It lifts my spirit. It gives me courage. It helps me with the trials of life, because I know that these things are transitory. They're temporary. They'll pass away. But I have a future which is glorious. I have a wonderful hope of what is coming. And so it has a present impact upon our lives. But biblical hope enables us to sacrifice the present for the future. We don't worry so much about the difficulties, the calamities, the tragedies, the disappointments of the present. They're very real. And for a person who has no hope, they're crushing. Because if all you have is this life, and this life is falling apart, then what do you have? Hopelessness. But for the Christian who has a Christian hope based upon the promises of Almighty God, the God who cannot lie, that hope strengthens our present. It seriously impacts how we live in the present. It enables us to sacrifice the present for the future, realizing that it truly will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You've sung that, haven't you? I remember singing that as a boy. I don't know if anybody still sings that anymore or not, but it's a good one. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Our trials will be so dim when we see Christ. That's not the exact wording, but that's how it goes on. And that's exactly true. Trials that seem so big, so burdensome, so interminable sometimes now, are seen to be very minimal in the light of the Christian hope, knowing that trials are temporary, even if they last for years. That's short compared to eternity. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. What a future! What a glorious future! What a great hope! And that should impact our present in a very real and tangible way. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.